Hello and welcome to Wonder Pod, episode 291. I did like a Frank Sinatra arm roll, or like I was a showgirl dancing there when I did that intro. That's a new one. Of course, I'm not on video, so you can't see it. That's why I'm talking about it. I'm an idiot. Joining me this week, as he always does, he's on the tether again. He's gonna have to get rid of some brothers. It's Glacinator.
Hello. It's exciting times over here. It's just rage-inducing connection issues the whole week.
You live in a ginormous city. You'd think it'd have better internet.
It's not that big.
New Orleans is pretty... How many people live in New Orleans? I will be the judge of this.
Not that many people.
You don't know, do you? All right. To the internet we go. Loud keyboard engaged. Population of New Orleans.
I bet you it's way smaller than you think it is.
It's actually only about 20,000 less than I thought. And I'm being dead serious. I thought it was 400,000, which to me is pretty big. It's 378,715 as of 2013. That is the United States Census Bureau data. That's a city that shouldn't have shitty internet. If I have it in this little bumpkin fucking backwood town of 20,000.
If our roads are as bad as our internet, then I'm surprised I'm even talking to you at all right now.
That's a very good point.
So our last mayor tried to set up like a citywide free Wi-Fi. He ended up stealing all the money for that, and he's also now in jail. So.
Yeah, wasn't he the one that really, beyond El Presidente, borked a lot of what happened after Katrina and then ended up in jail for things like stealing money from the Wi-Fi account?
Yep. Yeah. I actually have a picture of me with him. I won like a cooking contest or something. I even cook anything. I wrote about cooking.
Oh.
Yeah, and it was some History Channel contest, and I met him. So I shook hands with a federal prisoner. No.
I'm sure I probably have too, but not one that quite that famous. Yeah, but you don't ever get this.
Think about that, like how close you are to like a crazy person.
Well,
like,
you're talking to me. I'm that close to a crazy person every fucking day.
I mean, like a famous crazy person, or like famous bad person, like a criminal. You know.
I like how you're qualifying all this to steer it away from me. I appreciate that. Yeah, but did he, like, every time I meet a politician of any level, and I've met a handful, I try to avoid it whenever fucking possible because I hate them. But I've yet to meet one that you just don't go, yep, they're a politician. Jesus, can I wipe the fucking slime off my hands from shaking hands with them? Is that kind of how it felt? I mean, at the time,
I was pretty young, so I didn't...
Oh.
I was, like, in middle school, so I was just getting to that age where I was starting to get suspicious of things.
And then he hung out with me for 4 years, and now he's the biggest cynic in the world. Also joining us this week, it's really windy there. And probably the first day of spring was met with, it's John.
I think winter started on the first day of spring, to be honest, around here. Yeah, it's been freezing, and it's been windy. And yeah, I've been watching the siding on my house, kind of windy. I think it's been over... It's been about 100 kilometers per hour winds for 2 or 3 days.
What?
No, thanks.
Mm. Wow.
The highest wind I was at a place where, like, the gust, you know, like, one gust was 120 miles per hour. It broke the friggin' National Weather Service wind monitor, and that thing pegged at 120 miles per hour. Oh, yeah, it was... I can sleep through anything, even now in my elderly age. If once I go to sleep, I'm pretty much asleep. It's going to take explosives to wake me up. And that wind woke me up 4 or 5 times that night. It was a mess. Now, this was in the high desert of Northern California, where there ain't much to stop the wind in the shape of trees and things. Which I suppose in parts of Newfoundland would be the same, because you guys are just so close to the Atlantic.
Mm.
You know... It's not high desert, obviously, but yeah, you know, I don't know about for you guys, but the time change thing doesn't bother me, especially since I have all electronic devices, so I don't have to touch anything. You know, like there's a high possibility I could go without realizing that the time has changed. You know, but the whole first day of spring, first day of fall, that fucking gets on my nerves for some reason. Because the official first day of spring was the day we had the massive rainstorm here. And it was cool. It was acting like anything but the first day of spring. I'm sure there's scientific nerdity behind the first day of spring and then the first day of fall and all that, and fair enough, but it seems kind of pointless to me. Okay, this one's more specific for John, but Billisonator might have an opinion about it. Did you see the news? I don't know if it's been confirmed or not. I about destroyed my keyboard when I headbutted my desk because I was laughing so hard. Axl Rose is reportedly going to be the frontman for AC/DC on this.
I saw that.
Isn't that the weirdest thing? That's to help them finish out the last 10 dates of their tour, I think, is what that's all about.
I want to go, because that has to be a train wreck that you have to witness in person. I need to find out if they're anywhere in the West.
Is the Superman v. Superman of Hard Rock acts?
It's Goodyear Blimp Axl Rose. I don't know if he's still that size.
I think he's trimmed down a bit for the GNR reunion.
Oh, you mean the fucking greatest cash scam since Bernie Madoff?
Yeah, pretty well.
You know, honestly, I don't even see why they're bothering. I think they'd be better off they really must be hurting for money. I can't believe the Young Brothers were that dumb with their money. You know, the rest of them, it kind of makes sense. I mean, don't they have a drummer isn't one of their drummers or former drummers up on murder charges and Australia or something like that. How did you see it, Glaze? Because I'm not making fun of you for being young, but AC/DC and Guns N' Roses is kind of more John and I's era.
I mean, who doesn't know AC/DC? I mean, honestly.
Well, that is true.
It's pretty versatile.
Yeah. I mean, it's all over my Facebook feed. I'm sure it's on everybody else's.
I was never that big a fan of them. I respect Angus Young's ability because the Gibson SG is like almost taller than he is, but I just never had that period where they were important to me. I guess I would put it that way. I don't change the channel if one of their one of their number one hits comes on, obviously, but or anything stupid like that. But I never was a big, big fan of them. So I just, but.
Of AC/DC, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw them live in New Brunswick a couple of years ago, and it was a huge show, and we were way in the back. Wanda was actually pregnant. It was Peter's first rock concert, technically, I suppose, because she was what, 7 months pregnant or so, and so we hung out way in the back. But it was good. It was a good show.
Well, I'm sure it'd be fine to see them live, but it was just, I don't know. I think too much of their music sounded the same to me.
Oh, of course it sounds the same. I mean, no one doubts that, but I mean, it's still fun to listen to.
Right. I guess a better way for me to put it is I enjoy listening to them, and that's fine, but I didn't buy everything they produced religiously when I was a kid like I did with Guns N' Roses and Metallica and other bands. Mm. And of course, Guns and Metallica, some of their stuff sounds similar too, but it just never appealed to me on that next level, I guess I should say. Like Glaze said, it's still fun to listen to.
Yeah, I mean, I can't say I owned a lot of AC/DC albums, but I still enjoyed them whenever I heard them.
But I just think this is a mistake. Axl has given me no indication he's any less of a dick than he was in 95. Mm-hmm. You know? If I was going to go to the Guns reunion, it'd only be to see Slash, because he's still a damn good player. And done so much since leaving Guns N' Roses.
Yeah.
And now he's sober. Probably not by choice. Damn near dying a few times, probably. Actually, I changed my mind. Let's make it quick, but let's get into the console-ish news. And let's start with the PS4 4.5 that's supposedly 4K. Well, now I'm seeing could do some things 4K-ish.
4K enough.
Yeah. Well, the theme tonight is going to be saying all the appropriate things to get the salivating fan idiots to do what you want. It's really going to be that way from beginning to end minus one topic I've got here on my screen. But my question to you, gentlemen, we now know the thing exists. We know nothing else about it. but we've talked about this before. Is this Sony? We'll start with you, Glycinator. Is this Sony attempting to adopt the Apple model, and will MS follow suit?
What do you mean?
New shit every year, 2 years, whether they need it or not.
I wouldn't be surprised if that's what ended up happening.
Well, what other reason could there be for a new PS4 this quickly?
It's just, I guess the architecture advanced too fast. They jumped the gun too quick, switching over consoles. Plus the fact that it's supposed to be such a long console cycle gets them scared.
Maybe. I mean, there hasn't been a butt ton that changed in PC architecture.
No.
Or the graphic cards. There is one thing that leads me to believe you may be onto something. They use AMD GPUs, which is the graphics processor. And AMD's been making some pretty big leaps getting ready for 4K. And just in the amount of horsepower they have. And so maybe that could be part of it, that they couldn't just put a new GPU into the existing PS4 stuff. John, first question, first part of the question, or first part of the question I asked, do you think they're heading for an Apple model?
No, I think this is a decision akin to when they updated the PS3 to output in 3D, because it didn't at first, you know, when it was released. And then 3D TVs made by Sony were supposed to be the big hotness. So then they hopped on the 3D thing. So I'm assuming that Sony makes a 4K television that they probably want people to buy too. And so they just, since they can't add 4K to the PS4, they have to make a 4.5.
Oh, I thought you were going the route that the marketing spin, because Sony thinks it's got everybody in their, you know, Medusa-like gaze.
Yeah,
was going to be that okay, so you can play our FAP station on the regular PS4, but if you get this new one.
Oh yeah, yeah. There's all that too. I mean, it's all connected, man. You know, it's what they're going for. They want you to be all in on the Sony branding. Like, it's the same Sony tagline all the time. Like, buy our stuff and our stuff only.
You totally sound like somebody out of Fast Times at Ridgemont High there. Sorry for almost cutting you off. It made me laugh.
That wasn't an accident.
I know, but you did a really good job with it. Well done. You know, because we've kind of, what, he didn't do it real well, but what Phil Spencer was saying about new Xboxes, you know, obviously we took it to the extreme, and hopefully at this point, after talking about it a couple, three times, the audience gets that I did that specifically to be a jackass. I did not expect there to be upgradable Xboxes that would set the console world on its head and allow for all the lovely hacking and botting and bullshit I've got to put up with in PC gaming. But what I find interesting is, did you guys hear about Apple's massive announcements after they took the federal government to task for 10 minutes? Which, by the way, when you're doing a product introduction, the last thing I want to hear is a fucking political diatribe. Cook, you fucking idiot. But did you guys hear the news? What is Apple releasing next, Glace? We'll test you. What are they releasing next?
It's another mini phone.
Okay. And
I did not pay attention at all to
John,
that.
How about you? Let's give you this question. What is Apple releasing next?
I have heard two things, or three things. The mini phone, the smaller iPad Pro, and the next Apple TV.
John gets it correct, but he's a nerd who likes getting his answers correct, so Andy pays attention. But yeah. Glace is...
That's a big thing right there.
Yeah. Oh, well, I'm never going
to... It's key. It's totally key.
I'm never going to rip you for not paying attention, Glace, because if I don't give a fuck, I'm not paying attention to it. But Glacinator, who uses Apple products quite a bit...
Yeah, what a sham am I. My goodness.
Well, no, you are right in there, because I know I have at least a half dozen hardcore Apple heads in my Twitter user universe, let's call it, whether I follow them or they follow me and so on and so forth. At least a half dozen. It's probably closer to a dozen. And the reactions from them were either dead silence to meh. And it just kind of struck me as ironic that it really feels like Sony and Microsoft are thinking about doing this. We're going to start shooting things out the door every couple years. I mean, don't get me wrong. They redesigned both the 360 and PS3 during its life cycle, but that felt more like halfway through, like 5 years, not two or three. And to watch people not care about what Apple was selling, you know, it didn't trend on Twitter or wasn't all over my Facebook feed from people who didn't know what the hell was going on, but were posting it because 50 of their friends did. It tells me that that whole, let's keep cramming it down their throat with just slightly faster, slightly shinier, and it'll work, is rapidly heading toward a cliff. And it makes me worry for Apple a little bit, because they've ridden that gravy train for a long time. You know, they might actually be forced to innovate again rather than just ride on the laurels of the iPhone and the iPad. And let's be real here. The SE is going to be a 4-inch phone. Now, I just upgraded my phone. I have the new Samsung Galaxy S7. If you like Android phones, it's really great. It's got a couple software hiccups. I'm not going to take up a lot of podcast time on it unless we get some people commenting or messaging us. But I looked up the specs on it because I put a case on it, of course, which takes it from being a mini anchor to a full fucking blown anchor. And that SE mini, or that fucking iPhone SE, they only chopped like an inch off of it from the regular iPhone 6 or this Galaxy S7. That's not mini, you fuckheads. You know?
Yeah.
And so does knowing that, John, knowing what reaction I witness, give, or what does that make you think in terms of it appearing Sony and Microsoft might be trying this?
Like the Apple approach to promoting smaller phones is makes my head spin a little bit. To that point, but I don't think there's room for expensive incremental upgrades to the same basic system in the console space. I don't think people are ready to spend hundreds of dollars on it's not like you can get an iPhone on a PS4 on a contract, you know, like the way you can a phone and only have to pay $100. Like, it's, you know, you have to pay for the full price. I don't think there's room for it. This might be a one-off. I think they're just hoping to see if people bite enough to push it forward a little bit more, but I don't think there's room for it.
Guys, thoughts?
On the phone or any of them?
Any of it.
Well, I actually really like my Apple TV that I do have,
right,
which I think is a first-generation Apple TV. And honestly, I'm like, if I moved out tomorrow and I got a new place and I had infinite money, I would probably buy the new Apple TV. Just as a younger person who doesn't really watch cable, you know, who mostly watches Netflix and the stuff I can find online, I really like having the Apple TV, all the apps there. I can AirPlay through my phone if I want to play a YouTube video or show pictures on my phone. So, I mean, them developing that more, I actually like that. I mean, I'm not crazy about all the game stuff they're adding. It still doesn't look that in-depth enough for me to care. But, I mean, I really do like that product, though.
John's got it right, that I think that Sony is seeing how many people can buy. Yeah, Apple TV is intriguing me more. I wanted to have a little bit more in the gaming department before I buy in totally, because right now I can watch Netflix on my tablet or on my PC, and my PC handles pretty much everything else I wanted to do that makes Apple TV too redundant, if that makes sense.
No, exactly. I mean, that's what, like, downstairs we have the Apple TV, and then we also have the Xbox One. And you can play Netflix on the Xbox One and other stuff, but I don't know. I just like how simple the Apple TV is. It's that little box. You turn it on, and there's, like, all your apps right there, and then it's over with.
You know, that appeals to me, too, as far as television watching goes. And if it gives me an opportunity to sit down in front of a big TV and play mobile games, then I'll probably be more likely to play them. I still would consider it mobile, kind of casual gaming. For me, personally, don't start the whole casual versus hardcore. We're going to get into that in a minute anyway. But it just has to have more features for it to not be redundant for me. But the rest of it, mm-hmm. I mean, the smaller phone, I kind of liked my S4 Mini. And if certain things hadn't happened the way they'd happened, I probably wouldn't have upgraded at this point. But it was going to do certain things for the business that made sense, namely making the bill cheaper. So I just went ahead with it. You know, I've gotten used to the damn thing. It's not Chinese water torture having it in my pocket. But I sure as fuck know my if I've got my phone or not. I know that much. you know, but the whole thing, I immediately messaged Agent K when that rumor came out about the next PlayStation. And I'm like, well, I'm waiting till that comes out before I buy a PlayStation. His response was, it's a fucking rumor. Oh, it'll be verified. I know Sony. They leak shit on purpose. It was verified either late last night or this morning. It's like...
That was a funny impression you just did, sorry.
Oh, yeah, well, he's so hell-bent on me getting a PS4, and it's like, I love the guy to death, I think of him like a little brother now, but it's like, yo, you need to get a PS4. What's he playing this week? Xenoblade Chronicles on fucking Wii U. You know, I love him and I want to strangle him all at the same time most of the time. But I do want to get a PS4 because that's where the bulk of my friends play. I'm not in any massive hurry, and he can swing me on buying $25 Steam games that we only play four times, but the PS4 is a little bit more of a purchase. I'm not letting anybody sway me on that. In related but not really related console news, rumors cropped up, and I saw this fucking shit coming. And I have a conspiracy theory. It's a funny one. That's why I'm going to say it, because that's the only way you should use conspiracy theories for the sad attempts at comedy. That the Wii U will stop production at the end of the year. Of course, it was like Cold Taco or Polygon or one of the other ones trying to prove that they're still fucking relevant. Yeah, that's right. I took cheap shots at Polygon. They got one writer I like. The rest of them can bite me. you fucking hipster douchebags. But anyway... and just, what do you want me to say? I mean, John posted it in our links. I take it you looked at that as, like, just more ridiculous fodder coming from shitbags.
Yeah, pretty well. And you know, before Glaze had posted the original article about it shutting down Wii U production, I had already seen the debunk. So I want to... This wouldn't make sense to drop it all together. I mean, it's going to happen eventually. And if the NX takes off, probably sooner than later, but I mean, not before anything else, you know, drops right away.
Oh, fuck. Some reason, I didn't see Glacinator's. I only saw John's.
Oh, yeah, okay.
I was the first one. I was the...
Oh, yeah. Somehow I... my bad, Glace. Somehow I missed that. So if I said John brought it up originally, I will correct myself and say Glace. I also see how he posted... Oh, I posted 50... Oh, no, never mind. I only posted the pre-order price of the Sony FAP station. Just get John's fucking blood boiling.
Blood boiling.
Rightfully so, but I was trolling him. I'm not denying that, but it's bullshit. By the way, it was $550 CDN is the pre-order price. What a bunch of fucking horseshit. All you Canadians, listen to me closely. Drive to your nearest border town and pre-order it in America. Fuck Sony. Glace, were you actually a little concerned that this was happening? Initially, now that I've seen your Facebook post, I don't know how the fuck I missed
initially,
that.
Initially, slightly, but as soon as John posted, I was like, yeah, I'm an idiot. I may have bought into the scare tactics there.
GameSpot's usually not one that reports on completely fucking wild hair rumors, so you probably get... I still trust GameSpot to a point, even though they're owned by the cunts at CNET. Because Gertzman works there. And we all know Jeff Gertzman's not going to put up with bullshit. I refer you to his Kane and Lynch review that got him fired from GameSpot the first time. My, how the... Well, I shouldn't say he works at GameSpot. Giant Bomb got bought by them. But they're still a functioning site. But the point is GameSpot's kind of cleaned up its act. I just... You guys ready for my conspiracy theory now that you've stated?
Yeah, hit me.
Okay. Yes. Okay. So you guys saw what I said in the chat that basically Name Redacted 2 started running his fucking flap hole. If you don't remember who that is, he's the analyst. Not analyst, analyst. And saying that the NX would be a massive failure and blah, 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 blah. And I love the fact that a lot of the blogs tore him a fucking new one because they finally have woken up to the fact after 3 years that he doesn't know fuck all about video games. And then he's just trying to apply what they apply to everything on Wall Street, analyzing and just making wild ass guesses. My conspiracy theory is he's the asshole behind these Wii U shutdown rumors because he's just trying everything to prove himself right. That NX is next and it'll fail, you know. So that's my wild conspiracy theory, that it's name redacted too, trying to make himself relevant again.
It certainly could be. I wouldn't put it past him.
Well, that's the sad part, Glaze. How credible does that sound on a conspiracy theory rumor mill scale to you?
It could happen.
I'm sitting here wondering if both of you remember who Name Redacted 2 is. I refuse to say his name, but you should.
I remember his name, but I remember all the articles we talked about.
Right, yeah. I'm actually... okay. Yeah, I remember his name now. I had to think about it. Starts with a P for giant cock. well, his last name does start with a P. Look, I figure I'm looking at the life a little differently now, by the way, audience. I probably should have said that off the top of the show. See, because I took a couple jackasses to task for making fun of Sterling for getting sued by a bunch of idiot shitbag developers. Yeah, that's right. I called you shitbag. Sue me. Go ahead, do it. I'd love to see you fucking try it. Because whether you like Sterling's style and attitude or not, there is something kind of interesting about him being sued by shitty Steam developers. If by some miracle those shitty Steam developers win, it ain't just going to be games critics who are under the gun from fucking crappy people who don't like bad reviews. You movie reviewer shitheads and you TV reviewer shitheads. So you might want to think a little more carefully about a critic being sued by angry fucking content creators. Which has made me go the reverse. I no longer give a shit. I'm going to call people whatever the fuck I want. Because it's ridiculous. If you can't take criticism, do a Phil Fish. Just rage quit. And never... In fact, I saw him mentioned at least twice in Sterling suit stories about... Damn, surprised he didn't do that. Poor Phil Fish, he rage quit the internet. They're still fucking making fun of him. Did you guys also see the boomerang controller that supposedly is the NX controller?
I saw a photo, but I didn't read the article.
No, I did not see this. Where was this?
Okay. Glycinator, look up rumored NX controller so I don't have to type on my noisy keyboard. John and I will talk about it
later. I'm going right now, yeah.
Here, John, I'll put it in the chat.
Okay, if John's got a link, good, cool. Did you even fucking give this a second thought? I laughed. That was my reaction to it.
Yeah, I was just, no.
I mean, the memes have been hilarious, but I just don't. This Nintendo had better tell us at E3 or whatever they do around E3 what this NX is, because what's happening here in my mind is that nobody's gonna give a shit because there's been so many wild rumors and so many what it could possibly be's that pretty quick people aren't going to care no matter what it is. At least that's the feeling I'm starting to get. Am I wrong in feeling that way, John?
Well, I think they're smart to not talk about it too much. I mean, they're letting the pot fester and then come out what they want. I mean, if they were hyping, like, you know how Sony had a press conference to reveal a trailer of the PS4 or a tease. They had a thing to announce a teaser about it, but didn't show anything about it.
Right.
Yes. They better not go that way, and hype it up too much, because I was getting sick of it at that point.
Especially given, don't you think that's more important given all the false and ridiculous shit that's coming out?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Would just make it worse, wouldn't it?
It would. Yeah.
Oh yes, I remember Sony's announcement before the announcement. I took a fucking driver. I usually use a 5-wood. Speaking in golf terms when I go after somebody on the podcast, but I got out the fucking Bertha driver for that bitch. That pissed me off. I was fucking raging sitting here watching that. In fact, I think I quit out of Facebook because there were some of us talking and I just closed the window because I was furious when that whole thing went on. And I think I had rushed something or changed my schedule around so I could actually watch it. It was a GDC. Because then they showed it at E3 when Microsoft tied its shoes together and fell on their face. Glycinator, now that you've seen the Batarang controller, what do you...
It looks like the underside of a 1960s coffee table.
With two fucking thumbsticks.
Yeah, those are the legs.
Oh, dude, you're right. Now that I don't want to have to give Kotaku any more fucking traffic than I have to, but you're right. You can flip that over and use it as a bitchin' coffee table.
Maybe in your Barbie dream home.
Well, yeah, it's not, obviously not. Yeah. It'd be perfect for broke college students because the best furniture I ever had always had wobbly legs that the fucking table would half tip over when I was in university. So if they were thumbsticks.
I don't like this concept of having the thumbsticks on top of the screen. I don't know. Like,
yeah, that's weird.
The OCD in me is like, I can't see the whole screen. Am I missing something?
I don't get the point. I don't get the point in... I mean, if you read the whole Cold Taco article, there was some truth to it, but this was somebody who just went bonkers in... what did he use? Did you scroll through the article and see that he did this in a 3D modeler? Damn it, that's the one fucking...
Yeah, did you see the patent, though, at the bottom?
Yeah, that they did patent something like that.
Yeah.
But,
I mean, who knows what that's for, but I mean, that concept, I'm just not that crazy about.
Well, here's the problem with patent filings. That could be a piece that they want specifically patented that could be a... go into something else. You see what I'm saying? Sometimes you patent individual parts and pieces of a machine.
Oh, no, yeah. But, I mean, he is holding it, though. There's hands holding it.
Right. Exactly. Yes, but... we don't know, touchscreen controls anymore. I don't see any indication of thumbsticks in that patent filing under the guy's thumb. I mean, they do have the hexagonal. Is that a hexagon or is that a pentagon? I can't tell. But some kind of fucking shape under the dotted line under the thumbs, which is the way you do it to indicate there's something under there. But that could be a touchscreen that yada, yada, yada.
Oh yeah, it's weird. They're pentagons. It's not even eight directions. It's only five. That's really weird, huh?
Yeah, but speculate too much on a patent filing that was probably never supposed to see the light of day is also something we shouldn't do.
Still strange though.
I think it's fucking hilarious anytime anyone trolls the blog. So well done to you and your fucking. The guy's got a future in the industry. It may be a few years before anybody wants to hire him after making him look like idiots, but he's pretty good 3D modeler, I'll give him that. Do we think we're going to hear about the NX at E3-ish?
Yes. Yes, I think so. I think the bigger question is whether or not they'll do a Nintendo Direct or if they'll actually do a presentation.
I mean, yeah, I thought they were done with presentations.
No, they are done. It's going to be a Nintendo Direct, John. They're done. And pretty much everybody's done at E3. I don't know how much longer until E3 is no longer around. Of course, we've said that 100 times before, and it's like a fucking hydra continues living. I think
I feel like it will be after E3 in a random Nintendo Direct in, like, September. Like, super random.
Oh, no way. You're nuts. I don't think so.
No, he's right. I hate this, but he's right. Because Nintendo does not make smart decisions about when to do that.
Yeah, I mean, they'll have their Direct, and they'll have, oh, these are all the upcoming games for the winter holidays. Oh, and by the way, here's the console we're working on. It'll be like 2 minutes or less of showing that. And then it'll be like when they first announced the new Zelda game.
Yeah.
Just like, oh yeah, by the way, yeah, our best IP ever. Something's happening with it, bye.
Yeah. That thing's going on NX. There's no that's doing the Twilight Princess routine. That's going to be on NX for sure.
Oh yeah,
that really annoys me. I mean, Zelda is really just getting screwed over with the timing of things. You know, they just can't time it right in terms of development cycles.
I think it was ready to go for the Wii U and they held it back because they were bailing on the Wii U. And then things. I think if Miyamoto, shit, did I get the right one? No, who passed away? I'm having problems. I'm having brain fade. Hello?
Iwata.
I think if Iwata had not passed away, we'd already know what the NX is. But I think that sent Nintendo into kind of a spin for a bit. Rightfully so. I'm not picking on Nintendo. Mm. And I honestly think that the Zelda's being held back for the NX. It could have come out on Wii U. I don't think that's development cycle. I think that's Nintendo deciding that they aren't abandoning. They're pulling a Sony. They're not abandoning the Wii U, but they're not putting their top properties on it.
Well, I think what I meant by the Twilight Princess treatment is that, like, Twilight Princess came out on GameCube and Wii U. Or not, sorry, Wii. Not quite at the same time, but they were released on both systems. Because they were still supporting Cube at the time.
Mm-hmm.
But they needed a sweet launch title on Wii, and I wouldn't be surprised if that's what you see here.
Yeah, I'm with John on that.
If they do that, I'm buying a Wii U. Fuck your NX. Because Wii U also has a bunch of other stuff I want, like Xenoblade Chronicles, like Mario Kart, like other games I want to play, but I just haven't had the time or effort to put into saving my pesos to buy a Wii U.
Like if I was a betting man, I would say that day one, the NX will be fully Wii U backward compatible. Whether it takes a disc or not, I don't know, but you'll be able to buy Wii U games on a download basis or something like that on day one. There's too much of a library there that they can ignore they can't ignore it.
How would you deal with the pad though? I mean, is the NX going to have the same Wii U pad?
Oh, I have. Well, here's the thing. A lot of Wii U games, like the pad, is only, you know, as an accessory. It's not necessarily key to gameplay in a lot of circumstances, especially the later Wii U games. It's only things like Rayman on new Super Mario Brothers, you might lose the ability to touch the screen and make things rattle and shake or add blocks, but that's not a big key gameplay mechanic of it. You know, that's just a little fun thing that the second player can do. You know, I'd just be shocked if they just left all that software to the wayside, especially if they don't have a lot of stuff ready for the NX at launch. You know, they need to have a beefy library right at the get-go.
Well, the other problem I have, and why I'm not even slightly concerned about the NX, and when it's announced finally, then my interest will pick up maybe, is there's been this talk of half portable, half console bullshit. And while I'm all for trying new things and not sticking to the same old model again and again, that's splitting the hair too fine. You know, and either make a console or make another damn handheld, one of the two. And unlike Sony, Nintendo has put effort into their handhelds, and there's, I think, still a place for them. So if this NX is a console, I don't think you're going to have to worry about the tablet or the controller. I think it's just going to be a more refined version of it. Now, at the same time, don't get in a big panic that it's going to be this fucking moon disc thing. I think it's going to be more refined than the current one, but I think it's going to be similar sized to the current one. I would say it's probably going to be more sculpted, more refined, but I think John's backwards compatibility thing is probably got a good chance of being right, Glaze, because I don't think they're going to go away from the tablet controller. They put they put too much effort into the tech.
See, what we're describing is basically a PS Vita, right? But a Vita that has more memory and able to store games, and like the combo console and a handheld of one is like a beefed up Vita. Right, it's basically, you know, it has a touch screen, has a bigger screen, nicer screen, buttons, you know, thumb pads, all that stuff is on it. Like, it's just a Nintendo. It's what we're describing. I just don't see how Nintendo would go after that same model. Like,
What I'm describing. I'm describing another brand new console with a tablet controller. I'm not looking at it as it being handheld at all. If it's what you're talking about, though, John, they're done. I have no interest in what you're describing.
Yeah, I just can't imagine it happening, but like what people describe, like online, there's talk about it being the amalgamation of console, home console, and portable, where like rather than, you know, you have a Wii U controller that's tethered to the machine that's connected to your TV, you have connected to your TV kind of is the receiver, and it's receiving the signal from your handheld, and your handheld is the combo. You know what I mean? You can play it on the TV or not.
Right. I've heard those rumors too, and I think we might have covered one on the show, and then just to tell people it was out there, and then I promptly ignored them because that's the Horde having their doom and gloom or greatest fantasy ever. Yeah. I just can't see that being a smart call. Can you, Glace? I can't see them making some kind of Super Vita out of the tablet controller. It'll deep six them. Nobody's going to want it.
Yeah. I mean, there's like John was saying about the library, though. I mean, there's still a lot of games that you do need the pad for that are, you know, important to the Wii U. I mean, Super Mario Maker is huge. And then the other IP, yeah, Splatoon is huge. And you need the pad for that. So, I mean, the whole thing about the Wii U is the pad, you know, and it, mm-hmm. I don't know. It just seems crazy to me that they, how are they going to keep it going?
That's a fair point. I can't see the NX coming out and not have Mario Maker on it. Like, if it has Wii mm-hmm. U compatibility, you're right. I mean, Mario Maker is a huge title for them, and they probably want to have Mario Maker 2 and so on. And that touchscreen interface is key for it, right? There's going to have to be something on there that's touch-based or something.
And see, that's you saying that just leads me to believe that it's more a case of Nintendo learned a lot about their first quote-unquote 1080p for the hardcore console, i.e. the Wii U, and the NX is just going to be building off of that concept. They have too much invested in a proper console. I mean, their mobile or quote-unquote portable library is pretty strong, too. Of course, your main competition, not counting mobile phones, is Sony, whose library for the PSP, PSP Go, and Vita, I think, is 6 games total. Good luck with VR, fuckers. 230 developers. You put them to work on the Vita, that might have done better for you, morons. But again, all we're doing is speculating like the rest of the internet is. I honestly don't get and can't fathom how this whole hybrid handheld rumor took such hold, because it's just so not what the market wants. You know, it's one of the few cases doing this podcast where I just can't even find a kernel of reason for the rumor taking such root and getting into people's heads. You know, even the most batshit stuff we cover, like this controller, you could see a little bit of logic or sense of reality to it. You know, this could turn out to be something we see that is part of the NX, only looking a lot different, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But that whole handheld hybrid, I hate to say this, but, and we might have said it with the Wii U, and maybe we've just been too nice to Nintendo. Maybe I've been too nice to Nintendo, trying to be nice to you too and our other Nintendo fans in the audience. But this is make or break for them. They got nothing left to fall back on if this fucker falls over. You know, and so I just can't see risking that on a hybrid handheld.
I mean, they do all their mobile stuff coming up. So, I mean, I think if this thing does bomb, I mean, I think we might see a transition to more mobile stuff, which sounds crazy, but...
If this next console bombs... Sorry, John, I'll be quick.
Oh, no, that's fine. It wasn't important.
If this next thing mobile thing bombs, I could see them becoming Sega. Software games only. Sorry, John, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to mention about the talk about a unified platform between all the things, you know, like, and that you'll be able to play one game on another. Like, all those mobile games will be on your portable, you know, device, and it'll be on NX and all that stuff. I'm really interested to see what they announce and see if it's going to be something that holds or not.
I can tell you this as someone who doesn't want to own every console, because I spend the bulk of my time on PC. If they put some Mario, like a Mario RPG or just a standard Mario platformer, or best yet, Mario Kart, some kind of Zelda, something from the big catalog, hell, even Smash Brothers. If they put a version of that I can buy on my Android or iOS tablet, I will buy their games if they're not Square Enix priced, you know, like $15 to $18 for shit that ain't worth that. They will have me, and I will play them. But I just haven't got any sense that's what they're going to do. They don't trust mobile. They've made too many statements about mobile being this, that, or the other thing. But you're not wrong, John. They do want to unify it across all platforms. I mean, I think they even talked about that in the Nintendo Direct.
Mm-hmm.
But kind of with what Glace is going, or what Glace got me thinking was, I don't ever see a day where Nintendo goes out of business, and I should have probably expanded on that Sega comment a little more, but I felt bad for cutting John off, so I wanted to get his thought out, and I'm glad we did. I do see a day where Nintendo just becomes like Sega and makes games for platforms. And while that would be horrible in one sense, I don't think it would be the end of the world either. You know, Sega's not great. They've had some issues with some of their games in the last few years. But they do okay. But, again, it's all speculation. We don't know and may not know till E3. And, oh, the other thing, too, on something John said, since we've been bouncing all over the place. John, you're absolutely right to say what Glacier was saying about them doing it in, like, September or something was nuts. But they've done stupid shit like that in the past. That's why both Glace and I are thinking it. You're absolutely right. They should do it at E3, or at their Nintendo Direct during E3, while everybody's eyes are on them, you know. But they just haven't given me any confidence that's what they'll do. Because they think when they announce... They're kind of like Sony in that respect. That they think when they announce something, the world will be paying attention. And that hasn't really been the case lately with them.
Yeah, Just seeing as how the Wii U, floundered the way it did, you know, this launch has to be something really big and get as many eyeballs on it as possible. So, I mean, a direct is great, and I'm sure the video game press covers that stuff. But I mean, they got to get this thing on the CNNs, they got to get it on the Ellens and that kind of stuff. Make sure it hits the casual eyeballs, because that's where, you know. The money wasn't in the hardcores this time.
Well, and I'm kind of reevaluating my idea of success and failure. And again, it's not to excuse Nintendo. They've borked the Wii U in a lot of ways. But if you look at the very successful, sold and stayed in the news franchises that came out for the Wii U, obviously Splatoon leading the crowd as being a new one, a new IP... And then you went and looked at all the top-selling franchises that did bazillions for Sony and MS up to this point. And I'm even going to throw in the Halos and the CODs and the Battlefields. I bet you'd find that MS and Sony ain't leading by that much. Mm-hmm. You know, because Mario Maker was something I still remind Agent Kate. Yeah, well, he still thinks it's shit. Just because he doesn't want to be wrong. You know, Mario Maker was a big deal for him. Splatoon turned out to be everything I'd hoped it would be for, you know, people that don't want to play COD or Battlefield. So while maybe it's excusing Nintendo a little bit, I also don't think it's 100% fair to compare them sale for sale with Sony and Microsoft. But I see progress, I guess is what I would say. Mario Maker and Splatoon give me hope that they, at least a slight hope, that maybe they've got an idea what they need to do next to keep things going. So while the Wii U could have been a lot better, I would not call it a total flop. I'm sure the horde will when its day comes to an end. Okay, so last thing we're going to talk about tonight, and this was the one that I alluded to in our Facebook messages. I was pretty happy. Because it's kind of a rerun topic, but it's a way back machine rerun topic. I'm so happy he's back in the industry, because it gives me at least one more opportunity to smack him upside the head. Lawbreakers, which is the arena shooter that Boss Key Productions, douchey name, Cliffy, my pal Cliffy's, new studio is making. Now, if you guys remember, that was going to be a free-to-play title. Which, of course, got PC gamers in an uproar, pay to win, blah, blah, blah. I will be getting to you fucksticks in a minute. But first, Cliffy, there's a lot of things I'm actually going to bash here, so I'm pretty happy. It is now switched to a pay-to-play model. Now, the rumor is it won't be like full tilt $60. The thinking at this point is like 25 to 30, which is still too expensive and I won't touch it. But I wanted to ask you, gentlemen, before I guess I'll be getting out Big Bertha tonight, before I got out my driver to fucking just absolutely rip apart Cliffy. John, we'll start with you. Why do you think they made the switch from free-to-play to pay-to-play with this shooter?
So this is a PC shooter?
Yes. Might be ported to console later if they can find the right partner. And that's out of Rockstar Douche Canoe's own mouth.
Mm-hmm.
So it is quote-unquote being designed for PC, which right. is something that really pisses me off. I'll get into that in my section. Let's let you guys have at it first. So anyways, why do you think they're switching?
My brain says data. So I'm going to say that they've probably got some new data that may say that free-to-play PC games does not make as much money as pay-to-play.
Ooh, that's a good call. By the way, there is no correct answer to this. We're all speculating. I want to make that clear. Like, I don't have notes that Cliffy actually said why they're changing. Glacinator, why do you think they made the switch from free to play to pay to play?
Sounds desperate to me. Sounds like something went wrong.
Glacinator's on the track I'm on. Okay, so we have data telling them that free to play is actually, you're both kind of right, and I'm going to tell you how you're both kind of right. John's right, and the data would be that because it was a free-to-play title, PC gamers were whining and complaining about pay-to-win, and Cliffy said something to the effect of that, well, we'd probably have to put out a gun or something like that that could lead to pay-to-win, and I don't want to do that to PC gamers. You know, he's just a fucking slurping ass all day long. Because he knows, I'll give Cliffy all the credit in the world. He knows how to give lip service, but he's such a lying fuckbag. It's just bullshit. But John's, that's how John's right to a point, right? And I've seen two or three YouTubers that I love to death, but they're like, oh, and this looks like it's being designed strictly for PC. Please explain to me how the fuck an arena shooter designed for console is going to be any fucking different experience on PC. Because there is no fucking logical conclusion I can come to. Now, if we're talking Battlefield, we're talking COD, where map size might be a problem, even on the new powerful consoles. I can kind of get what you're talking about, want something that's designed specifically for PC. Because now the fucking horde magically believes that everything's ported over to PC from console, you fucking dunces. But the data bullshit and the whine, and PC elitist gamers who, I love you guys, but God, fucking knock it off. You're acting like fucking children. You know, that kind of plays into it, I think, John, because Cliffy is such a slime bag. He's good at it, too. I gotta give him props. As much as he came really close to being name redacted number 3 back in the day, I gotta give him props because he knows how to play the Pied Piper pipe. I think it's total, utter horseshit. Because what I think is kind of what Glacinator was talking about, where I think Glacinator's right, is they're using the schmuck excuse of pay-to-win whining. And I'm going to get into more why it here in a minute, something I have not talked about in the past about pay-to-win. Just from cheesedick gamers who, you know what, you're going to suck at the game either way. The ones that are, for the most part, the ones that are whining about pay-to-win are the ones that are going to suck whether they buy the guns or not. Good players will always overcome. I've seen it time and time again. I just don't buy that shit. What I think is Boss Key Productions and its head idiot saw the fact that these games are coming out, also arena shooters. Overwatch, Unreal Tournament, and Battleborn. And especially Overwatch. Guess who Overwatch is being made by, gentlemen? Do either of you know who Overwatch is being made by? It's gotten enough headlines, you might. Glacinator, do you know who Overwatch is being made by?
Is that Valve?
Nope. Good guess, though. John, who do you think Overwatch is being made by?
It's on the tip of my tongue.
I think John's probably heard.
It's not Pandemic?
Nope.
Someone like that. I can't think of it.
It would be Blizzard.
Oh. a big boy.
I knew that.
Blizzard is making Overwatch. Now, while to me it's fucking Team Fortress 2 with dwarves. Oh, and by the way, for the record, I probably won't be playing any of these fuckers unless Agent K drafts. I need that as a clause that's just stated without me stating, unless Agent K talks me into it, because that's how that shit happens. I won't be playing it on my own, let's put it that way. Luckily, he's not a big fan of arena shooters and doesn't like them. He calls them bullet sponge shitbags, so I'm probably pretty safe on any of these. Yeah, you can't tell me as much horde cred as Cliffy has slurped that he's not slightly concerned about the fucking big boys at Blizzard and the marketing department at Activision.
Yeah.
Because, and because they have a head start. And you know, I mean, Unreal Tournament's still a little behind, and I just saw some footage of it. Yeah, it looks like Unreal fucking Tournament. Battleborn, I can't remember who's doing Battleborn. I gotta look it up. But Battleborn actually, I think, was the one I liked the most. Gearbox. Oh, Jesus, this is just douchebags fucking galore. I didn't realize. Okay, so Gearbox, as much as their president and CEO needs to shut the fuck up half the time. Gearbox does do good games, and if it looks kind of like Borderlands, I might be interested in playing it. But where Cliffy is going right, gentlemen, and is the fact that he's slurping to PC gamers, because if you look at Battleborn, PlayStation 4, Xbox One, Microsoft Windows, and I think Overwatch is the same thing. So, you know, Cliffy has gotten the doofuses to believe that his will be for PC. It'll be pure as the driven snow, so your mouses and keyboards are not sullied by console crap.
Go ahead.
No, I'm done.
Get your expletive out. Go ahead.
Nah, it wasn't worth it. Go.
I'm sorry to cut you off. No, Gearbox is who I was thinking of. That was the name I was going to say, not Pandemic, because Pandemic are gone. But yeah, it was Gearbox is who I was going to say.
Well, the funniest part about that, John, I was like, I think Pandemic's out of business, but shit keeps coming back into business and out of business. I'm not going to fucking argue with him until I look it up later. Yeah, because Pandemic is out of business.
Yeah, they are, yeah.
So I think you're both right. I think Cliffy is trying to make PC gamers happy. But I just, let's say that you wanted to play an arena shooter. Because I think Overwatch is free to play, and I think Battleborn was going to be free to play. Now, you also have to add into that the fact that right now running around on PC, you have Team Fortress 2, which is free. It's just free. You have Counter-Strike, Global Offensive, which isn't technically an arena shooter, but that's the fan base you're going to try and pull away from Counter-Strike to play your game, Cliffy. It ain't fucking happening. And then you have things like Dirty Bomb. You know. But if you were going to sit down and play an arena shooter, which does have the advantage of you can get matches quicker and probably spend less overall time than you would in a COD or a Battlefield or a Halo, John, would $25 to $30 be a value to you, or is that too high for something that is purely just run in, shoot people, probably going to get killed a lot, very fast-paced?
That's what's happening to me in Battlefront now. In terms of a game that's pure multiplayer, the $20 to $30 range is more reasonable to me than beyond that.
Glace, how about you? $20, $30 okay for a quote-unquote arena shooter?
A little lower. Maybe $15, $20.
See, the one thing that, and I'm not going to mention his names, I don't mean it personally, so there's no point in bringing up names. But the one PC YouTuber, PC gamer YouTuber that I was watching who was talking about Lawbreakers said that even at $25 to $30, he thinks there's going to be microtransactions in it. And wouldn't you expect that, Glace, at $25 to $30, something that's pure PC right off the bat, that there's...
There definitely will be. Definitely.
If nothing else, weapon skins and all the shit that people go bonkers for.
There absolutely will be skins of some sort.
Yeah. Sound about right to you too, John?
Yeah. I mean, I have no problem with paying for skins and paying for costumes and stuff. That shit doesn't matter. It's stuff I can ignore. It's If I have to pay for gameplay stuff that's already in the game, not additional levels now, but I'm like, if I have to pay for an upgrade, then that's horseshit. But, you know,
well, and that's where
we've had that chat before,
right? And I agree with you on a lot of those points. I think all three of us are in agreement. But that's where the whole pay to win thing becomes very muddy.
Yeah.
Because what PC gamers scream about the most is, I'll give you a perfect example, because I've been playing GTA Online. I'm playing GTA Online on PC, and I pre-ordered it. You know what came with my pre-order pack? Lesnar, you played some GTA Online, didn't you?
Yeah, I did a bit.
I pre-ordered it on PC. You know what came with that? Homing rockets. I got the homing rocket launcher from level one. People don't like me very much because, see, they try and fucking troll me and kill me on sight with their fucking little helicopters, thinking they're cool because they've spent their lives getting to level 100 so they can fucking kill people who did nothing to them, which normally works for them. You know, it's like fresh spawn ganking in DayZ or something like that. They get to be utter douchebags that prove they have no skill in the game, and you get killed. The problem is when you do it to me, because I pre-ordered the motherfucker, I have fucking homing rockets, which are lethal. And the problem with these douchebags that do this shit is they don't pay attention. They just kill whoever they see, and then they go about their merry way. I have wrecked two Buzzards Glacinator, an attack helicopter, and a fucking jet, all of which the players had to buy. So I probably wrecked like $15, $20 million worth of shit for little idiots that thought they were being cool and killing me when I'm like level 12. Because I didn't play.
That's all I remember GTA Online being, was just people and jets, and then people shooting rockets at jets. Like, just constantly.
Yeah. It's not tons different. It depends on the one thing I do like, to go a little bit on a tangent, the one thing I do like about GTA Online, at least on PC, I don't know if it worked this way on Xbox, you have different sessions, free roam sessions. And so if you're getting tired of the fucking constant salty ass screaming over mics and battles in downtown Los Santos, you can keep hitting new session until you find one where there's only three or four players, or go into a completely private one if you want. Some functions are then done away with, but you at least have options in this GTA Online.
Mm-hmm.
But my overall point was, coming back from the tangent, John, is that does kind of throw the game out of balance. Because if I was in a legit fight with somebody, like, I'd shot at them first, not them just trying to be trolls. It is a little ridiculous that a level 12 has the fucking homing rockets, because they don't miss very often. You kind of really have to fuck it up for them to miss. Wouldn't you agree, Glaze?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's just lock-on.
They're stingers. And that's what PC gamers worry about, is some little shithead like me that is going to be able to buy that gun right out the gate when they've spent weeks getting to that point where they... The thing that they're not recognizing, in my mind, and I am not saying I'm super skilled, so please don't read that into my next comment. I know how to play the fucking game. I didn't just go derp-a-derping out of my fucking spawn right underneath them to shoot them with the fucking, you know. I've played this game a couple times and played similar games a bunch of times. The fact that I've learned from experience allowed me to find a sneaky little spot to fucking rocket the fuck out of them. It was like the fourth guy before somebody finally typed in chat, or fourth time I did it, before somebody goes, "What the fuck, you're level 12 and you have homing rockets?" And I admit, I trolled the guy and went, "Pre-order bonus, bitches." And I just kept right on running. Because that guy was creative. He tried to kill me with a jet. Not a fighter jet. He tried to fucking smash into me with a fucking jet he had stolen, like a Gulfstream 2 size jet. Almost got me, too.
It rains planes in GTA Online more than it rains actual rain.
He's not wrong. I got killed the other night by a fucking cargo bomb falling out of the sky, and I had no idea there was a battle going on within miles of me. I was just driving along, kind of towards the area where Franklin lives in the story mode, Glaze. And the next thing I know, I'm fucking dead, and I had to watch the kill cam for a second to realize that a cargo bomb had been shot out of the sky somewhere and fucking randomly landed on my car and killed me. That's why I don't buy cars in GTA Online. the few people that I know that play it on PC make fun of me because I haven't spent any of my money on cars because it's pointless. Why buy them when I could just steal them and I get killed by a fucking falling helicopter? It's kind of pointless. But that's part of the reason why the PC crowd flips out about pay to win, not understanding that skill's always going to win out. I've seen people with that same pre-order rocket launcher I have fuck it up by thinking they can just lock on and then run away and the missile's magically going to go where they want it to, or not getting it fully locked on and firing, you know. And again, I'm not saying I'm super elite. I'm not. But there is this thing of you have to have a certain amount of skill before these pay-to-win weapons matter. I'm always going to believe that because I've seen it with my own eyes. Glace, you remember in Battlefield 3 when they put out the, oh, you can fucking rank up and get all these guns package on Xbox 360? I'm sure you saw these complete knuckleheads running around with guns that you should have got at like level 40 that they had no idea what they were doing with.
I tried to avoid people just in general. I mean, I remember we talked about this when I first started playing. Like, the first thing I did online was I rode a bike up a mountain. Like not like a motorbike.
Oh, you rode like the bike up the up, yeah.
Like the most boring thing you could do in GTA, just ride a bike.
You know what the funny thing is though, John?
Hmm.
I didn't remember Glace saying that until he just said it again. I mean, I remember him saying it the first time after he reminding me, but it dawns on me that bicycles are like OP or overpowered or stealth. I was riding a bike all through a fucking war zone the other night. Nobody shot me once. I don't know. I mean, if they don't pay
you blend
attention.
In, you know, because you're not in a fancy sports car. You're not on a falling plane. You're not in a tank. You know, no one's looking for the guy on the bicycle, you know. It's like Kevin Spacey and Usual Suspects. You know, you just kind of limp through.
I may have to try filming on a bike to see how that works. Just get into like a really busy lobby, free roam lobby.
See if you can actually kill anyone riding a bike.
No, not so much kill anyone. Just see how long I can ride around through the fucking team deathmatch that usually takes place in busy lobbies in downtown Los Santos. And see how long till one of the little idiots kills me.
Like play chicken?
Yeah, exactly. That might be kind of interesting. I might have to try that this weekend. But the other thing, too, that kind of... And this is a tangent, and so I apologize. It doesn't really tie in. Well, it ties in, but it's not specific to my Cliffy bashing. I'm done with that. It's just not... It's still kind of fun to bash on him, but I'm never going to top some of the shit I said about him back in the old days. It's just never going to happen. The other thing that PC gamers love to overlook that I'll let you in on is, do either of you know what smurfing is? Glace, I'm going to start with you because you've got a little brother.
Yes, I do know what smurfing is.
Okay. John, do you know what smurfing is?
No idea.
Glace, please explain to the audience and to John what the concept of smurfing is. This hold on just one second. This has happened for ages, but it just recently got a fucking name, or not too long ago got a name.
Basically, smurfing is when you're good at a game but you reach a level where you're not good anymore. So you decide to make a new account and start over from level one, ranked, even though you're technically like ranked 30 or whatever.
That's part of it. But the other part of smurfing is when a group of players do that, you see it a lot in Counter-Strike. They all buy new Counter-Strike accounts and go down and play low-level matches for the fuck of it. They're like high level and they just smurf on a new, or they're smurfing to get a buddy up to their rank. That's more where smurfing kind of becomes the, oh, really? You don't like pay to win, but you pull this bullshit. And I've seen it in Counter-Strike matches where one of their friends decides to start playing, so they buy new accounts. Hey, good for Valve. They make more money. and so then they just play matches until the guy catches up to them in rank or catches up enough that they can actually get in a lobby together. Glacinator's basic term is basic smurfing, but it has kind of evolved. And here's the other thing. Here's the other dirty little secret I'll let you in on PC gaming. I don't know if Glace has ever done this, but in Battlefield, you have squads, right, John?
Mm-hmm.
What I would generally do when I was lone wolfing here lately in Battlefield 4 on PC is I would look for a squad with the highest ranked players or all clan players that had a free spot. And then I would join that squad And I would do whatever I had to do to make sure they didn't kick me out of that squad. If that meant just feeding them ammo, following them around like a little pack mule, giving them health kits and not getting killed, not getting them killed, fine. But you know what? When I did that shit, I would rank up like 3 or 4 times in an hour or so, unlocking more stuff for me and barely, you know, not doing a hell of a lot. Versus if I was lone wolfing or just playing with squads of guys of my own level. So this dirty notion that pay to win has never been involved in PC gaming or some kind of fucking loop the system or cheat the system before free to play is such unequivocal horseshit. Did you ever do that in Battlefield Glaze? Just join, look for the best squad you could find that you could join and just run right along with them?
Oh yeah, I mean that's the whole fun of Battlefield is the squads. I mean, even if you can't play with your friends online, you can usually find a group. You don't even have to talk on the mic, you know, it's just, okay, these people are actually trying to play the objective.
Right, yeah, PTFO.
And it's fun to play with people that play the objective, you know, everyone gets in a helicopter, you know, you can be engineer and just sit there, repair,
right,
plus
yeah.
20, plus 60, plus exponential points, you know. And then, I mean, it works because, you know, you're getting points and they're surviving. I mean, you're playing the game and that's how you're supposed to play.
Well, and yeah, it's not true smurfing, but my reason in bringing it up, because you could do it in COD too, I'm sure, there's always ways to work the system without having badass skills. Glacinator's a far better shooter player than I am, so he's probably far more asset to the team. And I was kicked out of more than one high-level clan squad for being not that good anymore, if I ever was. But if you do the right things and you help them, and like Glaze said, yeah, I rode around one entire round in Shanghai repping a guy's little bird helicopter. We just flew around the entire match. We captured 2 flags with it. This dude was the best pilot I'd ever seen in Battlefield. And all I did all round was I died once, and I think I got 1 kill shooting, because in Battlefield 4 you can actually shoot out when you're riding on the side of the little birds. But the guy was happy. He kept saying thank you. We weren't talking on the mics. He just kept saying thank you with the little freaking, you know, pre-made call-outs that you could use with your dude, like when you holler for ammo or whatever. He just kept saying thank you over and over again. I knew what he wanted. I knew what he was doing. And once he started trying to capture flags or help people capture flags, I knew he was actually playing the objective, not just racking up kills, you know. And so we went like that the whole night, and it was funny as hell because he joined my squad. Like, we died once, and I forget how. He joined my squad, so I knew the next time he got in a helicopter, I jumped in. We finished the fucking round that way. So the whole point is thinking that fucking pay-to-win weapons and no-skill noobs are going to take over our fucking arena shooters, it can happen. There's a possibility of it happening. But a possibility of it happening is in no way means that you need to freak out this fucking much and sit there and say things like, oh yeah, it looks like Boss Key's making a proper PC arena shooter. Honestly, for me, I see none of them. I have this sneaking suspicion I'm going to get stuck playing Overwatch because Agent K loves that. He loves everything he's seen about it. I cannot convince him. It's just fucking TF2 with dwarves. And he does not like Team Fortress 2. So, if nothing else, I'll probably be playing a few rounds of it until he gets fucking furious because it's another bullet sponge. Mm-hmm. Because the type of shooters you play does really affect you after a while. You know, you play in Armo where a headshot is kind of like Halo, you're done. Or CSGO, which is even worse. I introduced somebody to CSGO this weekend. It was pretty comical. I mean, they ended up liking it after a while, and I didn't throw them in the deep end. We were playing with bots, but that game can make you furious. And if you don't like sameness all the time, like Glaze was talking about, you know, you play with people, you're going to get stuck in a lot of the same maps over and over and over again. Oh, good old Cliffy. How long do you guys think it's been since we made fun of him? I mean, he was retired there for a while, and then Bosky didn't do too much. What do you think, John? Give me a years, months, whatever. How long do you think it's been since I went on a proper Cliffy tear?
A real tear?
Yeah.
I'd say 3 to 4 on a real tear. I think we've brought him up a couple times, but a real tear, 3 to 4.
Okay. How about you, Glaze?
He was doing something at E3, wasn't he?
Yeah, there was something when he announced Bosky Productions. I think was the last time I took it took some shots at him a little bit. But I have kind of backed off because somehow some people have gotten the sense that just because I rip on him for his rock star lifestyle and douche boy haircut, that I hate the guy. And I don't. If he literally emailed me and said, "Hey, dude, I'm at your corner bar. Do you want to have a beer?" I'd go have a beer with the guy. I don't hate him. he just makes it too easy to make with the fucking ripping on. He really does. I think John's closer to right, like a proper one, like pulling out some of my more favorite insults like I did denied. I think it's probably 3 to 4. But when he announced Bosky, I'm pretty sure I know I made some retirement jokes. Oh, that retirement lasted a long time. Do you think maybe he hopes privately in his own little Cliffy world that if nothing else, he beats his former bosses? Because, you know, Unreal Tournament is made by his former fucking studio / publisher, Epic. Mm-hmm. Is that maybe the private dream, Glacinator, that if nothing else, I beat fucking Epic?
He does seem to have that mentality.
Well, it kind of would. I probably would feel a little like shit if I couldn't even beat my own former studio that anymore seems to be run by a bucket of live bait. Okay, I've had enough. How about you guys? Good?
Yeah, I'm good.
Okay, let's get out of here then. If you'd like to get in touch with us about anything, if you'd like us to talk about Cliffy more, it'd be kind of hard because not only did I get bored of it, but the news kind of dried up once he left Epic. We have a ton of ways you can do that. First off, our Facebook. WonderPod Online. All one word, WonderPod Online. Shoot us a friend request. Unless you're an obvious bot or spammer, it will be accepted. We have a Twitter account. It's at WonderPod Online. All one word, at WonderPod Online. Lots of links go up there if you want to keep track of what's going on at WonderPodOnline.com. That's right, WonderPodOnline.com. A lot of times these days, it's just a archive for the podcast. And when I post the podcast there, I post it with an embedded player. So if you're catching up on shows and want to listen to it on a web browser, you can do it at WonderPodOnline.com. Although lately, I've kind of gotten back into the YouTube thing. My own personal stuff, I would, but if nothing else, please go watch the Cannibal Camping videos. There's something seriously wrong with Stuart, Agent K, and I. Speaking of that, YouTube channels. We have a bunch of them. We have the WonderPod Online YouTube channel. Glacinator's got a YouTube channel. The What Chris Does YouTube channel. The Olivia Made This YouTube channel. Of course, my shit YouTube channel. The 360 YouTube channel. The old Patman hasn't been doing much, but he's got a ton of videos on there you should go watch. He always does good stuff. Fuck it. If none of that works for you, we got an email address. It's wonderpod@wonderpodonline.com. wonderpod@wonderpodonline.com. Or you can follow me on Twitter. I'm usually there in between bouts of political insanity and all that crap, at ORIGIM. Or you can follow John on Twitter,
where I tweet mostly about wrestling these days. It's at John Keogh, JONKEHOE.
But you should listen to it because he talks about a lot about Lucha. Give Lucha love. And until episode 292, I'm out of here off the top rope. See you, people.
Cheers.
Goodbye.